chazar up. Okay, please open your Gemara so we can actually put names today. We're not just going to talk about the third sheet, that we're going to do some very, very careful textual reading. Gear cells and slight changes between two Rishonim would say the same thing. Like I keep stressing, Lamdas is not just the puffing. It's not just the cream puff on top and the cream on top. Lamdas is working hard and getting your fingers dirty and reading Rishonim carefully, reading Gemaras carefully. So we do a lot of the theoreticals here. I want to make sure your skills are also growing. How to really dissect Rishonim and read them very carefully, which we'll, Mirtz Hashem, do today. Okay, so let's review. The problem in the sugya on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, the last sugya, Mirtz Hashem, tomorrow we're starting the second parak. The calm before the storm. Tomorrow is a nice, easy, regal chazara, things we've seen before. And then Tsraros, the Tsraros hurricane is coming your way. One day, they'll name hurricanes after sugyos, not after Ivan and Isaac and... Oh, this is the Migo hurricane. This is the Trey Vitrey hurricane. It's like a hurricane and a tornado together. And they'll call it so. They'll give each hurricane a name based on its qualifications, and Bava Kama is going to be featured. So you better know Bava Kama well if you want to be a meteorologist or anything else for that matter. Ask you for a name. Oh, this is a Shane hurricane. Or this is a Rega. Okay, so you got the Tsraros hurricane coming up to Mirtz Hashem starting tomorrow after Shir. But our Gemara is a nice Gemara, which seem to, the tension in our Gemara, which you'll see today why I keep saying this, is we have a braisa that talks about Chizkia. Okay, let's reread the Gemara, because we haven't seen this in a while. All the braisa does is talk about Chizkia. There's no mention in the braisa of other kings. As far as I'm concerned and you're concerned, other kings choose whatever you want. You don't have to. It's not a competition. It's not an Olympics between Chizkia and other kings. The braisa just said, what do they do for Chizkia? And the braisa ended that they put a Sefer Torah, okay, on his mita, and they said, Kayim Zem Mashakasa Bezit. That's the conclusion of the Brisa. Not only did they have a whole parade of people running in front of him, they put a Sefer Torah on his bed, and they said, Kayim Zem Mashakasa Bezit. Now, the Gemara then comments on the Brisa, V'ha'idna, by the way, having assuming that Chizkia would be the supreme praise, what do we do for other people? Something important, but less than Chizkia. That was V'idna. V'ha'idna, Nami of Dir and Hachi, Afukim Afkin Nuchelo Manchinan, Iboy Sam, Anuchinami Manchinan Kim Lomrina. That's not the original Brisa. That's just some comments, some Amora who commented on the Brisa, trying to find a space for other kings that's less than Chizkia. And the Brisa seemed to conclude that for other kings less than Chizkia, then we put the Sefer Torah, but we don't say Kiyam. Okay? Stop. Everyone find that place in the Gemara, Kiyam Lomrinan. Chizkia is going to get the Kiyam praise. Everyone else is going to get whatever you want. So the Brisa didn't talk about other kings. This Memra, this Amara said, by the way, for other people, we're not going to say Kiyam because that's unique for Chizkia. At which point there's a third voice in the sugya. Okay, I would, even if you have a pencil, 1, 2, and 3, it's going to be very important. Learn how to segment Gemaras. People read Gemaras like, oh, one, you know, learn how to segment Gemaras. It's crucial, crucial to Lamdas. Crucial to Lamdas. Now is the third voice. Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana. And it seems to us, listen carefully, as if he's also clocking in with the whole Chizkia issue. And his update of the Chizkia versus the other kings is going to create tension with the Gemara and a statement, and that's going to lead to a certain conclusion. Okay, but not necessarily, you'll see today. Now, what's also interesting about Rabba Bar Bar Chana is that he quotes all the background information to Rabbi Yochanan's response. He's going to quote Rabbi Yochanan's voice, and he tells us what Rabbi Yochanan was doing when he gave. Like, why do I need the background? Just tell me what Rabbi Yochanan said. Tell me Rabbi Yochanan's shita. What did Rabbi Bar Bachana say? Come, guys, I've done it before. I'm a Rabbi Bar Bachana. We were standing in front of Rabbi Yochanan, and he went to the bathroom. And he took off his tefillin. He put his tefillin back on. They wore tefillin all day. And what did Rabbi Yochanan say? V'hadar Amar Lan. Please put a little asterisk next to V'hadar, because this may or may not exist. V'hadar Amar Lan. And Rabbi Yochanan said, Afilu Kiyam Amrinan Limad Lo Amrinan. That for Chizk, that sounds like for all kings, we'll say they were Makayim Mitzvos, but they won't say they learned. That's going to be for Chizkia. It sounds like Rabbi Yochanan updated the Chizkia tables. Regular kings are going to get Kiyam, which we previously thought was reserved for Chizkia according to the Ve'aidna Gemara, but they're not going to get Talmud Torah, which is reserved for Chizkia. That's the way it sounds from our Gemara. It's very Rashi and Beit read the Gemara, which created the following tension, possibly, in the Sugya. If you hold like Rashi, there's a tension, because Rashi derived from Kiddushin that, Rashi felt that what's the highest praise, what's the highest value in Rashi's world? Meisim. Look at the board. So if Maisim is the highest value, then you got your tables wrong. Rabbi Yochanan's updated tables are, come on, help me, that regular kings get, which praise? Kiyam. Chizkiyah gets Talmud Torah. Problem is, Maisim is more important than Talmud Torah, so your Chizkiyah versus other kings table should be reversed. At which point the Gemara says, no, you're right. Mice is more important than Talmud Torah, but what's the highest praise that Chizkiyah is going to get the other kings won't get? Limanot Torah. That's how Rashi read the sukkah. And then the problem is, what about Kiddushin? We solve Kiddushin is just in the beginning of your career as a Talmud Chacham to learn to be Mekayim Mitzvahs better. Okay, so according to Rashi's read of the Gemara, which is also Rabbeinu Tam's read of the Gemara, there's one flow. Chizkiyah, they put a Sefer Torah and they said Kiyam. Ha'idna, we're going to say, you know what, other kings are not going to get Kiyam, that's uniquely Chizkiyah. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, the kings will get Kiyam, they won't get Limud, which is unique Chizkiyah. Wait a second, that's against my logic, according to Rashi, because Maisa is more important than Talmud Torah. How could you say that regular kings get Maisa and Chizkiyah gets Talmud Torah? The answer is, you know what, Maisa is more important than Talmud Torah, the unique, and regular kings will get Maisa, the unique praise that Chizkiyah will get is that he taught Torah, and therefore all the tables make sense. The hierarchy, do we have the Rashi hierarchy here? Talmud Torah, Maisa, Limud. Chizkiyah gets Limud, which is the highest. Other kings get Kiyam, based on Rabbi Yochanan's updated Hesped plan for regular kings. Okay? Anyone follow that flow of the Gemara? Any questions? Perfect. Rabbeinu Tam came into our Gemara with a different hierarchy. He took Kiddushin as paradigmatic, not as just developmental, what you should do first. So paradigmatically, what's the most important value? Talmud Torah, more important than Maisim. We'll talk about that in a moment. So the question in the Gemara couldn't be, oh, your Chizkiyah, other kings' tables are inverted. No, the Chizkiyah tables make sense. Chizkiyah should get Talmud Torah, which is the highest value. Other kings should get Kiyam and Mitzvah, which is the lower value. The question was, that your Chizkiyah, other kings' tables are logically inverted, it's just they're logically short-circuited. You're going to say that regular kings, all they did is Mitzvah, Chizkiyah learned. You can't do Mitzvah unless you learn. So by saying other kings learn from Kai Mitzvahs, you're assuming, you're implying they did Talmud Torah, so then there's no disparity between other kings and Chizkiyah, to which the Gemara answered, according to Beinu Tam, you're right, what's the special praise for Chizkiyah? Limud. And that's not implied by Mitzvahs. His hierarchy ends up being the same as Rashi, at the right end, not at the left end. Namely, at the right end, Limud is the highest, just like it was according to Rashi. That's the special praise for Chizkiyah. What's more important between Maisa and Talmud Torah? Okay, that's a machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, what you take for Kiddushin. But they read the Gemara the same way, namely, stage one. I should probably write it on the board for you so you can clearly segment the mark. Stage one is the Braisa. The Braisa has Chizkiyah getting the praise of Kiyam. That's the conclusion of the Braisa. V'ha'idna is an update to the Braisa. V'ha'idna, okay, we don't really have any other kings in the Braisa. V'ha'idna, other people are not going to get Kiyam. They'll just get a Sefer Torah without Kiyam. That's the Ha'idna applying to other kings. Ha'idna is what about other kings? Step three of the Braisa, step three of the Gemara is Rabbi Yochanan saying no, that other kings will get Kiyam. Chizkiyah will get Talmud Torah, at least according to the presumed Braisa. Which point I'll erase this for a second. Like this is step one. What Chizkiyah got? Kiyam. Step two, other kings will not get Kiyam. Step three, Rabbi Yochanan said, after he went out of the bathroom, no, give the other kings Kiyam praise. Just don't give them Talmud Torah praise. At which point the Gemara has a question. Gadol, Talmud, Shemevi Lidei Maisa. According to Rashi, it was a logical question. It seems like Rabbi Yochanan's arrangement is inverted, because we all know, says Rashi, that Maisa is more important than Talmud Torah. If Maisa is more important than Talmud Torah, how could Chizkiyah get the lower praise? Talmud Torah. And the other kings get the higher praise, Kiyam Mitzvos. At which point, we'll see in a second what the answer was. Rabbeinu Tam's question was not the inversion. You're right, Talmud Torah is greater than Maisa, but it just doesn't make sense empirically. How could you say, oh, the other kings only learned? You're assuming, the only kings that Mitzvos, you're assuming they learned. At which point, the conclusion was, according to Rashi, you're right. I don't care, X is more than Y. I don't know what the X's and the Y's are. Is it Maisa the X and Talmud Torah is the Y, according to Rashi? Or, I should keep it consistent, is X less than Y? Okay, so X being Talmud Torah, Y being Maisa, according to Rashi? Or X being, according to Rabbeinu Tam, Mitzvos, Y being Talmud Torah? But I know that they're each less than what? Limud HaTorah. And that's what we're going to reserve for history. And that doesn't imply anything else. If you say the other kings did mitzvahs, they're not implying they taught Torah. Liman is the highest value. So this is the flow of the Gemara according to Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. The common denominators between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam are all four units are integrated. One, discussing Chizkiah's funeral. Two, Haidna saying the other kings are not going to get what Chizkiah had. Three, Rabbi Yochanan updating and upgrading. Well, other kings will get Kiyum, they won't get something else. We thought that something else was Talmud Torah. That creates either an inversion of the value system in Rashi, or it creates a logical inconsistency according to Rabbeinu Tam. The conclusion is, I don't know what X and Y is, it's Rashi and Tosfos. However, the Z is Limud, and that's the highest value, and that's going to be reserved for Chizkiah. Okay? Just take a second to put yourself back into the circuit. Again, if you really, really want to know, the X according to Rashi is Talmud Torah. According to Rashi, the Y is Maisim. According to Rabbeinu Tam, based on Kiddushin, the X is Maisim, Mitzvos, and the Y is Talmud Torah. But either way, they're each less, and no matter your question, I now have a unique praise reserved for Chizkiah, which isn't implied by giving other kings the Mitzvos praise. Just because you did Mitzvos doesn't mean you taught Torah, and therefore I solved it according to Rabbeinu Tam. Okay? Everyone got the flow? Everyone got your head straight? Okay. We'll hold off on Reb Chaim. I want to at least get into the Shultos, because I see that it's easier now. I wanted to read Reb Chaim with you. We'll get to it later. The Shultos had a different read of the Gemara, a different way to understand the question, and hence a different conclusion. We're going to describe two versions of the Shultos today. Not two versions of the Shultos, one version of the Shultos, and one cousin of the Shultos, which is more moderate. Okay, the hardcore Shultos, which is easier to understand, and then the moderated Shultos. Let's see Tosfos. Let's read it carefully together. Tosfos. Dibra Maschel V'Amar. Uvishi'iltos Terav Achaygon. Lo Garsinan Kiem Amrinan Limeid Lo Amrinan. Okay, look back into the Gemara. I'm going to extract a line from the Gemara, which according to the Shultos doesn't exist in his versions of the Gemara. You see the word V'Hadar in the Gemara? V'Hadar. Afilu Kiem Amrinan Limeid Lo Amrinan. You see that line? Put a parenthesis if you can. If you have a pencil, you can erase it later. If you don't have a pencil, at least in your mind, put a parenthesis between the word v'hadar and amrinan. Namely, can anyone translate this? Rabbi Yochanan was not. If you take out this line, what was Rabbi Yochanan not doing? Exactly. He was not updating the hesped tables. Part number four, you see number four, one, two, three, four, whatever, question mark. Part number three, excuse me, Rabbi Yochanan, has nothing to do with part one, two, three. This is three, one. Part number three has nothing to do with one to two. We all assume that in one, we're telling us what Chizkiah, praise he got, and then number two, the Vedna came, that the regular kings will get a safer Torah without mitzvos. And then Rabbi Yochanan was coming saying, no, give the king, give him mitzvos. Just save Talmud Torah some special praise for Chizkiah. Wait a second. According to Rashi, that's an inverted logic, because mitzvahs are more important than Talmud Torah. According to Rabbeinu Tam, it's nonsensical. Oh, you're going to say Chizkiah gets Talmud Torah, the king gets Kiyum, you're assuming they learn Torah. And that created the tension, which forced the answer. That, Limud HaTorah is the highest in Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam's world. It beats X and Y. That's the Z. That's the X, not the X factor, but the Z factor that Chizkiah is going to get. If you take out those words, Rabbi Yochanan was not talking about his Hesbedim. Don't try to say, how can we have a superlative Hesped for Chizkiah that other kings are not going to get and that other kings are not going to have implied, and we have to find some system and some Z factor that Chizkiah is going to get alone regardless of mitzvos and Talmud Torah, and it's not going to be implied by mitzvos? Rabbi Yochanan wasn't talking about that. Don't worry about Hesbedim. Rabbi Yochanan is a standalone story. When Rabbi Bar Barachana came to introduce Rabbi Yochanan, he was not updating and commenting on the Braisa and the V'Ha'idna. The Braisa telling us what Chizkiah got at his funeral, and the V'Ha'idna saying what other kings are going to get. Don't worry about that. Rabbi Barachana was telling us a separate story about Rabbi Yochanan. Let's read the story. And you know how he knows it was a separate story? TMI. There's too much information in this story for the background of the teaching for it to be irrelevant and for Rabbi Yochanan to be commenting. If Rabbi Yochanan were just updating the V'Ha'idna, it should be Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan should say, give the other kings X and then don't give them Z. Why does Rabbi Barachana report all the back and forth? What does Rabbi Barachana say? Let's read it again. Amar Rabbi Barachana. Hava zilnik amed Rabbi Yochanan. Was this my Rabbi Rabbi Yochanan? I was asking him a question. He went, whatever. You know the question he was asking him? According to Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, what was the question he was asking Rabbi Yochanan? Come on, guys. Hesped tables. We know the Hesped tables of the Brisa updated by the Idna. What are your Hesped tables? Well, you know what? I'm very generous. Give the other kings Kiyum, but give Chizkiyah the Z factor, which we thought was Talmud Torah, which created a problem, and the Z factor ends up being teaching Torah. According to the Shiltos, what was the question that they were asking Rabbi Yochanan? No one knows. They ask him a question in Kabbalah. They ask him a question in Dinei Treifus. They ask him a question in Bar Nefasha. They're saying it was before the WhatsApp chat. They were asking, what bracha you make on whatever, you guys shalva. I don't know what they're asking Rabbi Yochanan. They're asking Rabbi Yochanan. They were asking him, you know, should I scratch my nose this way in Yom Kippur Shechal Yos Petisha Bav? Or should I scratch my nose that way in Yom Kippur? Yochanan was about to say, you know, Yom Kippur can't really be Chal Petisha. I don't know what they're asking. See, a million different things. You know, Rami tell was very, very suspicious of fake emotionalism. Whatever, you have to update it. I tell you a million times. Remember this for the rest of your life. Rav Aaron could be read out of context. Rav Aaron are eternal values. They could be written in the 14th century, in the 20th century, in the 36th century. I don't care. It's eternal. Rav Amital is all contextual. He was responding to specific. The biggest mistake people make with Rav Amital is they clip and paste. They cut and paste. You have to understand what he was responding to and where he's responding to. I see this. Oh, Rav Amital. Yeah, he said that in 1972 about. It's now 2023. Rav Aaron, you can say that. Rav Amital, not. Rav Amital in those days felt there was a lot of externality and artificiality in this, like, emotionalism upon demand. Let's have a Kalbach minyan. But things have moved. And Baruch Hashem, we have a Kalbach minyan yeshiva. So we always like asking, can we have a Kalbach minyan for Kabbalah? Can we have a Kalbach minyan? No, 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 no. Finally, he relented. He said, if Shabbos is Chal and Tu B'Shvat and there's snow outside, you can have a Kalbach davening on that day. It happened to be like 2-3 winters, there was a Shabbos that was Chal and Tu B'Shvat. Actually, Tu B'Shvat is Chal B'Shabbos, there was snow. But, you know, so they asked Rabbi Yochanan, can we have a Kalbach minyan? Can we have a Kalbach? And Rabbi Yochanan said, okay, you know, I don't know what they're asking. It doesn't make a difference. That wasn't the point. He had to go to the bathroom. He's a human being. Human beings go to the bathroom. Go to the bathroom, you take off your tefillin. He came out from the bathroom. And before he answered the question, he put his tefillin on. And all the guys were shocked. Forget the question we're asking you about Dine Trey Trey and Miga Makam Aid. Rebbe, why'd you put your tefillin on? You should have answered the question first and then put your tefillin back on. No one was talking about his patim. As we all know, listen carefully, says the Shiltos, we all know that Rabbeinu Tam is right. That in general, Torah is more important than mitzvot. Whatever we'll see, one part of Torah is more important than mitzvot. So now there's Torah to teach us or to learn. Why put your tefillin on? Went to the bathroom, answer the question, and then put your tefillin back on. Do Torah before mitzvot. Because in general, Rabbeinu Tam is right based on Kiddushin. That's a simple read of Gemara Talmud Adit. Not like Rashi learns just developmentally what you should do first, but Talmud Adit. The question had nothing to do with Chizkiyah. We don't have to get back to Chizkiyah and other kings. The whole question of Rashi or Vein or Tam is all, oh, Chizkiyah, other kings, who's going to get more? If it's implied, it doesn't make sense. Forget Chizkiyah. No, this had nothing to do with Chizkiyah. Yes, Rabbi Yochanan, what do they do for Chizkiyah? They gave him a certain praise. What do you do for others? I don't know. Talk about his crown. Talk about his princess. Talk about his army. I don't know. Let's sit there and compare other kings to Chizkiyah. Yochanan wasn't worried about the Ha'idna. The Ha'idna, whoever that Amara was, he was worried. Oh, what do you do for other kings? So other kings get the Sefer Torah, but they don't get Chizkiyah's praise. Whatever Chizkiyah's praise was, Kiyin, Limit, other kings, you give a symbolic Sefer Torah, as that prince, and you're not going to say anything. Chizkiyah said Kiyin. And Kiyin, Adam means Kiyin, Mitzvah, Stam, everything, the whole nine yards. All these fine-tuning, what praise Chizkiyah gets, Kiyin, not Mitzvah. You know, no, Chizkiyah gets everything, and the other kings get nothing. Just get a symbolic Sefer Torah. Now, separately, okay, period. Separate Masechta. Masechta is not Bava Kama, Bava Metziah, Bava Basa, but Bava Rivi Asa. Right? I'm making a new Masechta now. Bava Rivi Asa, the fourth part of Bava. You know, it's all one Seder and Ezekiel. So the fourth parrot, the fourth Bava of Bava Kama of Ezekiel, there's a discussion between Rabbi Yochanan and his Talmidim about, I don't know, Dine Kilayim in a field on Shemitah that's owned by a Kohen whose daughter is a Yalevi and had to be Yarashim. I don't know. It's an interesting question. So Rabbi Yochanan says, you know, I got to go to the bathroom first, guys. I got to go to the little rabbi's room. So he went to the little rabbi's room, took off his tefillin, came out, was about to tell him the answer. And he said, let me put on my tefillin first. Oh, whoa, Rabbi, teach us Torah first. Learn Torah first. Because we all know Kiddushin is right. Chizkiyah wasn't part of the conversation. So they said, so let's read the Gemara. Kiva Ayla Beis Akisei. He asked the question. You have to wash your hands. You can't learn Torah. Then he put on tefillin. V'amar mar, skip that entire line. V'amar mar, Rabbi, how could you be putting tefillin on before teaching us Torah? Gadol limud shalim evidei ma'isam. We all know that gadol limud simply means Talmud Torah or something like that is more important. So you see, we're not talking about Chizkiya Olympics versus other kings. We're just talking about what to do when you come out of the bathroom and you're a Rebbe. Torah first and mitzvahs first. And we all know the Kiddushin says Torah comes first. It was more important. Now, surprise, surprise, surprise. This is the inversion of the sugya. This is the great Musar of today. Rabbi Yochanan says, you know, that Gemara that says that Torah is more important than mitzvahs, that's talking about? Torah is more important than mitzvahs? Learning. You know what Torah is not more important than mitzvahs and has to come after mitzvahs? Teaching. Whoa. That's why, if I wanted to learn now, I don't have to put on tefillin. But I'm not learning, I'm just teaching you. So I have to do mitzvahs before I'm teaching Torah. Whoa. You can't get to this conclusion, Rashi of Benetanz. You have to, we'll see, maybe you can, but you have to perform surgery on this sugya. You have to amputate this middle part. Because the middle part started with Chizkiya getting the highest praise, which is Talmud Torah. And then we had a problem with that. Whatever Rashi's problem was or Rabbeinu Tam's problem was, so we had to find a Z factor which escaped all the problems. And the Z factor was teaching. If you're still stuck in the Chizkiya versus other kings description, you can't make Limud HaTorah worse or less in Torah, in Maisim Torah. But if you're not talking about Chizkiya, you're talking about a story. And in this story, he prioritized mitzvahs to teaching. And then you have the pressure, wait a second, we all know that mitzvahs are more important than Torah. Then the way you juggle these two sugyas are, the Gemara Kiddushin says Torah is more important than mitzvahs. But our Gemara was not learning, but teaching. Teaching comes after mitzvahs. Let's read Tosfos now. V'shiltas Rav Chaya Gaon Lo Garsini Kiyam Amrina Limilor Amrina. You don't have that whole Chizkiya business. He's not updating. How did he put on tefillin before he taught? Wow. Why is teaching Torah less important than learning Torah and less important than mitzvahs? Remember, this is the hierarchy. The conclusion, I don't have another piece of joke. Let me see if I can get a red, a really orange, some crazy, crazy piece of. Okay. But this is the Sheoltos. I'll circle. The Sheoltos says, Talmud Torah, Maisim, sorry, Limud, your direction, mitzvahs, Talmud Torah. In his world, Talmud Torah does supersede mitzvahs, but not teaching Torah. So again, we're facing the same intersection that we had on Thursday, where we had to make a decision. What's the decision we make? Who can conceptualize it? One way to make Talmud Torah more significant than Limud HaTorah in this universe, because that's after all what we're dealing with. It's so counterintuitive that learning should be better than teaching. How do you make learning better than teaching? So one way is to stream it through which vortex, through which concept? Maisa, exactly. The same question we had in, Rashi? The other day. Why should, in Rashi, it's just an inverse of Rashi, it's a palindrome of Rashi. Right, what's Rashi's? This is Shiltas. What's Rashi's? The same concept, just Limud, Mitzvos, Talmud Torah. This is Rashi the Shiltas. Remember when we're dealing with Rashi, why is Limud more important than Talmud Torah? So everyone in the it's great to be Mechanech, we love Rabbi Torah, whatever. Or but the more conservative answer is because Maisa is such important, somehow Limud produces more Maisa. Can you do the same thing with Rabbeinu Tam? Can you say that Talmud Torah produces more Maisa than Limud? That would be the more conservative approach. Why should Talmud Torah be more of a mitzvahs enhancer than learning than teaching Torah? Right? Teaching Torah, according to Rashi, is a multiplier. Right? If I learn, then maybe I'll get mitzvahs. If I teach, then maybe 30 people will perform mitzvahs, if mitzvahs is the highest value in Rashi in the Shilpas' conclusion. Can anyone invert that, even though it might be a multiplier when I teach? What do you think? In the perspective of Maisa, why is Talmud Torah greater than Limud? What do you think, Isha?
Even though it's kind of in the theoretical realm in a way, it's still more act, it's more of an action to yourself than teaching to do Talmud Torah stuff.
No, but again, we're looking at it through the prism of Maisa. Right now I'm teaching you, let's say, okay, let's make it more real, Tzraros. So now 30 people are going to know the halachas of Tzraros, and you'll see their applications of Tzraros outside of Baba Kama. Whereas if I just learn by myself, then only one person is going to be equipped with mitzvah knowledge or mitzvah enabling. Can anyone invert, can anyone keep Maisa as the axis, as the fulcrum, but invert it? Because that's what Schultes is doing. I'm inverting it. Alex, what do you think?
So the only way to be able to do mitzvahs is to do Talmud Torah.
Okay.
And the limud is not something you're doing yourself.
Okay. So Alex is taking one strategy. Can anyone conceptualize a strategy? Even though there are more mitzvahs in the world when I teach Torah as opposed to when I learn Torah,
there's a period of time where
period of time, but even more conceptual,
there's a step in between.
Step. Also, there's a severing. Who's teaching me? Who's doing mitzvahs? You. So for me to teach Torah, it's not going to enhance. It's going to multiply mitzvahs, but it's not going to multiply my mitzvahs. Whereas if you learn, the same learner will be the mitzvah hero or the mitzvah executor. Is there another way to prioritize learning as opposed to teaching through the prism of mitzvahs? Again, we'll open the conversation to non-mitzvah-centric evaluations. But if we're just sticking to the formulas, and Maisa is greater than Talmud Torah, the best is greater than Limud, the best way to make Talmud Torah better than Limud and Maisa is to say that somehow it's a Maisa and Eta. How else does Talmud Torah, your learning, what's wrong if I teach Torah? What's the deficiency or the lack of mitzvah enabling if I teach Torah? What do you think?
It could just be that Talmud Torah is like the greatest mitzvah, Talmud Torah connected kulam, but that doesn't apply to Limud.
Okay, that's part two. Unrelated to how many Maisim it supports.
Right, but that would be because since mitzvahs are greater than learning, this is the greatest mitzvah, it's better than mitzvahs.
But they're both mitzvahs. So why do you evaluate one mitzvah higher than the other? They're both Maisim, they're both mitzvahs.
Right, but there's some quantitative or qualitative.
What is that? So you're trying to get to. Is it mitzvah oriented or not? Why is my learning more of a mitzvah producer than my teaching? Yeah, it seems to be obvious. So, Leo.
Could you say like a give a man a fish type of thing?
What?
Like if you teach, you teach them just now, but when you learn, when you learn, you can learn everything. When you teach, they can only learn what you teach them. They can have the ability to learn on their own.
I can both say it, it's a brisk share. Okay, learn on your own.
When you're teaching, you're not learning.
Okay, but again, we're streaming this solely through mitzvahs. Okay, so only look at it through the vantage point of mitzvahs. What's going to contribute more mitzvahs? And Rashi seems to be compelling that when I teach 30 people, 100 people, I'm multiplying 100 mitzvah doers. When I learn, there's only one mitzvah doer. So we're going to have to try to invert it. So Alex's way of inversion is the offset between the learner and the mitzvah performer. When I learn and do a mitzvah, so I'm learning, and I'm also the Baal mitzvah. When I'm teaching, so I got my own mitzvahs unrelated to my teaching, but when I, there's something else. Anyone feel, I feel it as a mechanech. Yossi.
When you're teaching, you have no guarantee that other people will do the mitzvah. All you can do is just to teach, but you have no guarantee that they're actually going
to. They may not listen. It's interesting. Okay, I never thought of it that way. Okay. It's more certain, not just time, not just the offset between the learner and the mitzvah performer, but it's the certainty and the probability, the likelihood. Is something else? Yes, Dovi?
Maybe it's like, I think the mind is like a mala thing. You have to put your learning behind so that you can.
Oh, that's a nice value. It's a moral value. You know, you get the Malach of the Year award. But right now we have to stream it through Maisa. Right? I just want to teach you disciplined thinking. If the highest variable is Maisa, why is Talmud Torah a better Maisa enhancer than Limud Torah? Not general issues. Yosef.
I see someone do Maisa that will inspire people by example sort of thing.
So Limud should be better. Limud should be better.
No, because the Talmud Torah then your mice will be like enhanced, and people will see that. And
as opposed to teaching, why won't you be inspired by teaching towards mice? You always have to create the difference, not just the one from one side of life. As opposed to, okay, let me tell you the following tension that always arises in the Rambam to help you understand it. Okay, at a certain point, depending upon the age of the Rambam and its cycles, but if we go back like 15 years ago when I was a younger Ram, okay, so some of the older Ram said, you know, we are tired of teaching the first parak of Ksuvos. We've taught it four times already. But our responsibility to our Talmidim is to teach them the first parak of Ksuvos, because that's the most important part. So it was a whole, like, rebellion on hand. And every once in a while, the Rambam got the upper hand, and we learned the end of the second parak of Ksuvos, which is horrible for you guys. I'm, by the way, on your side. Same thing in Gittin. Gittin, we should be teaching you the second and third parak. I think the last time we learned Gittin, the second to last time we learned Gittin, we started with the ninth parak, which is really, really the fundamentals, not of how to write a get, how to give a get, but what does a get mean? What's the essence of a get? But you have to know all of Gittin to start that Gemara. The Shanel of guys, they were like drowning. Okay, so I'm enabling a lot of your mitzvahs right now by teaching you Tzraros, because you never learned Tzraros. I've learned Tzraros before. So to me, right, maybe you can't understand this because you're not a rabbi, to me, it may not be a mitzvah multiplier, because I've learned Tzraros many times. I hope that I'll keep whatever mitzvahs are related to Tzraros or Shabbos or Yom Tov, whatever. So for me to learn something new, to learn something I've taught already, to teach something that I've learned already, I'm not breaking new ground. Right? I feel a tragedy every day that I have to come and teach you Baba Kama. It's not your fault. It's my choice in life. But I'd love to be sitting and learning a different part of Baba Kama right now that I don't know as well. But I don't have that choice, because I have to teach you this sugya, not other sugyas. So there's a repetition in teaching that is a problem in general, and we'll talk about general problems of teaching, but is specifically manifest in not creating new boundaries of mitzvahs. You're learning new information, and then you can now apply them to mitzvahs. Say, we're learning sukkah, it'd be obvious to you. Brachas, it'd be obvious to you. I've learned the information already. I have to, in order to be a teacher. In order to teach you, I have to learn the information already. I learn the information already, it may not be a mitzvah enhancer. So these are certain ways to stream and to craft a superiority to learning as opposed to teaching, which is so counterintuitive, if you stream it through mitzvahs. If you don't stream it through mitzvahs and you just want to talk in general, okay, so Dovi, you know, we can go around there, we can have a seventh. Everyone tell me, what are the problems with teaching and what are the advantages of learning? Okay, I think we all have enough to, you know, it's a stimulating, thought-provoking concept. And I think it's a healthy, corrective. Okay, I'll just give you a story, two stories. I remember talking to a younger person who was starting to learn, and they were basically giving thousands of shiur. And I said, yeah, maybe you should just take off some time just to learn. She said, well, I need shiurim to motivate me to learn. If I don't have to give shiur, I won't learn. So that story struck me as very interesting, and it always stood with me. I know this person today, and I like always thought, that's how it turned out. What are the problems in your mind, let's just put into your lap, with that statement? I want to give as many shurim as possible, and that will motivate me to learn. That sounds good, right? Then you're sure that you're going to do a lot of learning. And maybe if that's the only way for you to learn, maybe you have to do that. But what are the potential problems with that approach? Yes?
There'll be certain areas that aren't normally part of shurim that...
Okay, I see. I'll go on to repeat certain areas. What else? What's a more inherent problem? Not just, let's say he commits to give a shiur in every single mesechta, every single week. So he's going to go through the whole Torah kula. What's the problem with that? Yes, Yishai.
It could mean that you're teaching without fully understanding the things yourself.
Okay, so you're pushing yourself to teach beyond your capacity to understand. But that's, again, logistical. Let's say I'm a computer mind, photographic memory. I cut through, and everything I learn I can convey with the utmost clarity. So there's no... Right, I'm teaching you now how to think methodologically. Don't run away to technical issues. Think fundamental. What are the fundamental problems with that? Yossi?
If there's no one... If you don't want to teach something, or there's no one that wants to teach,
okay. Also logistical. Let's say there's an endless amount... You're in TBC, and there's no teacher, and there's endless amount of people. So you are sure there'll be an audience for every share that you commit to. Right? So what's inherently problematic? Does that strike you as... You know what? Even if the logistics work out, is that really the ideal? Henry?
Less time
for... What do you mean? I'm learning at the same time. I'm just learning based on the...
You're not sure you can't be learning. You got to just give a share of everything.
Okay, but again, let's say that it doesn't cut into you. Okay. That quantitatively, the time you're teaching, you're not learning, which I hear. It's a little more fundamental, but I'm sensing something more existential, more conceptual. No. Okay, I'm a Salasos. Is there something more than that? See if you can get something more. Yes.
It means you don't really have a desire to learn.
You need... Right, exactly. Shouldn't you be motivated to learn oneself? Isn't that the highest form of avodas Hashem possible? And say it even, it's a little differently, Arya, but see, like, not just the motivation, but also the purity. Let me tell you the second story, okay? I had my parents here for Shabbos, so I did a lot of thinking about both of their parents. I was very close with each of their parents. I'm the Bechor in the family, same with them. My Zaidi, who really was an up-and-coming star in Slobodka, and he got a position in Europe, I think, in July 1939, right in the middle of Lithuania. And within a year or two, he found himself basically relocated to the United States of America, a rabbi in a shul, which was nominally Orthodox, but, you know, I imagine 80% or more of the people were conservative. So, you know, it's officially Orthodox shul, but his life changed in midstream very, very radically. Like, his life had one trajectory to not being a total... And of course, that's probably true of all the Holocaust survivors or any of the refugees, right? You expected one life, and life turned out very differently, as it happens very often. Anyway, so he never really taught in yeshiva the way he probably would have. He didn't really have... He lived in Baltimore, so he had some people who's close to some of the rabbinim in there. He saw that actually knew in Slobodka. He didn't have any sons. In those days, women didn't learn Torah, so my mom was his daughter. He's his daughter. And it's interesting. Like, he never... We live very, very different lives. I tried to teach a lot of Torah, and I don't know how much he was able. He was a mashgiach, and he was a rabbi in a nursing home, in a hospital. I mean, he's a big Talmud Chacham, rabbi for sure, but... And the people in shul, I remember, I went to a shul for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. I was a page turner. You know what a page turner is? You ever go to a shul, we have to tell the audience what page you're on? In the red machzor, I was a page turner. And I remember his ne'ila sicha was, they opened the red machzor and they read the English poem. Oh thou Israel, be thou best. They all read it together. That was the capacity of the audience to understand a pre-ne'ila sicha. So and sometimes I inherited a lot of his svarim. And I read his farm sometimes late at night, or in the morning. And I'm so, in some ways, jealous that here's a man who never had any ulterior motive to learn Torah. He never thought that any of the Torah he's going to learn, he'd teach or convey. It was totally out of his wheelhouse. He sat and learned Torah. Torah is Hashem. There's me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no ulterior. And there's a purity, Aryeh, not just a motivation, as you said, but a purity. The best bracha I'll give any of you. Any of you, if you become a rabbi, there's a lot of ego in rabbinics. We talked about this before. Try to take yourself out of it. Try to do it l'shem shemayim. It's really hard, especially in a day in which rabbis have become rock stars, and who's the best, and who's the most likes. Just do it for l'shem shemayim. L'shma, Torah l'shma. And I struggle with this. Every time I learn Torah, in my mind, I'm automatically saying, okay, what year is this part of? What lecture? Like, would it have to be part of, it's eternal. It's like nothing to do with this world. So I know this isn't the problem. I want you all to be rabbis. I don't want you to pass it like the shul does. I want you to teach Torah. But it's like a healthy corrective. Because all the chinuch speeches and all the chinuch bugs and go out become rabbis and go tackle the world and be marbit stara becomes a runaway train of ego and pride and lack of pure motivation for Talmud Torah. And it's great that the shul does wakes up and says, you know what? There's a world in which Talmud Torah is better than teaching Torah. Don't listen to him. But every once in a while, listen to him. Every once in a while, remind yourself of the shiltas. And for all the other reasons you're thinking about as well, remind yourself of the shiltas. Now, from Tosfos, it sounds like the first approach. Again, most Rishonim stick to the first approach. So look at Tosfos. Mishani, ha-lamigmar, ha-ligmurei. Learning is better than teaching. Why? De-lamigmar nafshe limud gadol, she-mevi lidei maisa. Sounds like the upper hand of Talmud Torah to Limud Torah is the Maisa accelerator. Well, he doesn't say how. He doesn't say how it accelerates. But somehow it accelerates. The Rabbeinu Chananel, I'm going to skip the Rabbeinu Chananel and the Ritva because it's a slight cousin of the Shiltos, but I see where I don't want to keep pushing, and have to stop at Pidgin Aben to go to. So the Rabbeinu Chananel, he learns like the Shiltos. He still tries to connect Rabbi Yochanan to the Chizkiyah question and which kings get it. And there's another way to learn the Shiltas Hashita. If you want to see the Ritva and Kiddushin, I'm not going to try to confuse things, but let's see his conclusion. He says, Uparkinan Lokasha, second line of Ben Chanan, Uparkinan Lokasha, Lemigbarhu Talmud Gadol, Shah Talmud Mevili De Maisa. Lagmurehu Lachrine, teaching others Maisa Gadol. So that second line in the Rabbeinu Chanan, the second wide line, is literally the Shiltas. that in the end, the hierarchy isn't Z, highest value, limud. Ah, X and Y, Talmud Torah, mitzvahs, you decide, Rashi made a time. No. In the Shultz's world, in the Rabbeinu Hananel's universe, the highest value is Talmud Torah. And Maisa maybe is better than limud of Torah. But Talmud Torah is the highest value. Again, Lemigmar, Talmud Gadol, to learn. Second learning Rabbeinu Hananel, Talmud is better. Shadam Eved Dei Maisa. Like Murray to teach, Maisa is better. Shmamina. Now, how exactly he gets to that, he still tries to connect with Yochanan number 3 to 1 and 2. If you want, I could try to explain it to you in the base medrash. Right now, for most of you, you don't have to think about it. Then he explains why Shmamina, Vila Mikmarhu, look at the Rabbeinu Hananel, to learn, Vila Isuke Kame Rabbe, and to learn in front of your Rebbe, Tve Adif, Vikadim, it's better, Allah Murehu Lechmini. So what words does he put in that are not in the Gemara when he explains why learning is better? Right, you're learning with your Rebbe. It's not in the Gemara, because the Gemara, when it highlighted whatever that Z value is, Gadol Talmud, Shatam Evidei Mice, it sounds like it's superior because it goes somehow to Mice enhancer, however we described it. But I'm just trying to teach you to be sensitive to the text. Is he just saying, by the way, now I'll wax poetically about learning in front of your Rebbe? Is a good Gemara talking about the importance of learning? Wow, it's so great to learn by your Rebbe. Or is he giving us the reason that learning, which is also a bit of a conundrum, right? It could be, let me express it to you two ways. If I were a Haredi, you know where I'd be right now? In a corner, learning more? Maybe when I'm 78 years old, they make me a Rebbe. It's a different culture. You become a Rebbe when you're 78 or when you need parnassah. In our world, you become a Rebbe when you're 22, when you're 23. Go out, teach, muddleshir, just chinuch. So it dilutes the level of learning, obviously. As I quoted before, it creates this agenda-driven, I got to be a Rebbe rather than have to learn. And it's something that I thought about, let's say, in my life when Rav Aaron was Nifter. Because until Rav Aaron was Nifter, I thought my whole job is to be a connector to Rav Aaron, is to just connect people to Rav Aaron. That's my job. Get them to yeshiva. Excited about learning to have Rav Aaron. Then Rav Aaron wasn't here now. Like, who am I connecting them to? So I'm sharing different voices and different perspectives. What does it mean to feel that you're receiving as opposed to giving, and giving as opposed to receiving? In the Haredi world, it's, you know, take. Okay, you're now 78 years old. Who knows how long you'll learn? Consider this, loyal the Rabbanim, the Gedolim are octogenarians. You just sit and learn in Kola. You go over to your average 60-year-old guy. What are you doing? I'm in Kola. How are you learning Parnassa? Okay, I teach an hour here, an hour there, 2 hours there, fix something up. But their primary occupation is to go through Kola Tara Kula. And it increases the knowledge level, knowledge base of Tara, and mentally it creates a... So, now again, my Rebbe isn't alive anymore, so when he says, L'migbar l'sike kame rabbe, you mean literally in front of Rav Aaron Lichtenstein as opposed to teaching you? Well, I don't have that choice anymore. I can only choose B. Well, not just in front of Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, but it's more, like I said, taker or giver. Like I should be taking rather than giving. Okay, I take from my Rebbe when they're alive, and then I take from Rebbe Kiv Eger when my Rebbe is no longer part of this world. I take from the earlier Rebbe. But I want you to see that potentially Ben Chananel is moving away from a Maisa-centric evaluation. We all feel, oh, the Maisa, somehow we have to convolute a system in which learning is a better Maisa enabler than teaching, which is backwards logic, and Chananel did it. Here, it's very, very refreshing to imagine that maybe, in the end, the superiority of teaching, of learning over teaching, has nothing to do with Maisa. And these are the only words I found. Suki kame rabbe tve adif. Okay? Like I said before, there's a way to get to the Rabbeinu, to Shiltus' conclusion by still, but to me it's more important. I mean, I don't want to beat the horse too much, that you learn to segment. Don't read all the Shas. People read the Gemaras too quickly. The best thing you can do is before you go into the Shalom, read Gemaras that are lengthy, read them 3-4 times. And try to see like what the segment. You'll see in my Gemara, I've underlines, and I've got commas, and I've got brackets, and the Gemara is not just read as much as again, the reader Yishonim. Because you want to appreciate what the Yishonim are doing. You want to understand the pressures. They could read it once and then respond because they were Yishonim. We have to read these texts again and again, and even hermeneutically. After you read the Yishonim, go back and read them again. Here's a classic example. We have 3 sections, okay? 4 sections. Section number 1, Chizkiah's funeral, just the description, the Bryson. Section number 2, whoever Mr. Ha'idna is, by the way, what do you do for normal kings? Also very, very... very, very parif. Okay, the other king will put a sefer Torah, we won't say king. Okay, until we get to Rabbi Yochanan, there's no real problem in our sukkah. We have one report of Chizkiyahs Levaya. Then we have another report. Okay, other kings don't say anything. What you say for Chizkiyahs, say whatever you want. Other kings don't say anything, but a Sefer Torah. It's audacious to say anything about the Sefer Torah. For other kings, Chizkiyahs, say whatever you want. Now, what happened? What changed in the Sukkah? The simple read is, Rabbi Yochanan, after he left the bathroom, updated, and he said, by the way, other kings, you could say X and not Y. Wait a second. It's not Y. According to Rashi, the Y, Talmud Torah, is less than the X. That's inverted tables. According to Beinu Tam, okay, I know that the X that you can say for Chizkiyah is higher than the Y, but the Y presumes X, so what do you gain? And therefore, we have to finesse the system. In the Shiltis' hardcore version, there was never an update of the other kings. Other kings, they get a symbolic Sefer Torah. Woohoo. I mean, not woohoo, but not saying anything. There's no cross-tension with Chizkiyah. The problem was when Yochanan came out of the bathroom, he took off his tefillin before he taught. And we all thought that teaching and learning is better than mitzvahs based on the simple Rita Kedushin, at which point we had to, within the context of Yochanan's story, we had to make what he did less than tefillin, and the Gemara Kedushin has something more than tefillin. He was teaching, that's less than tefillin. Learning in Kedushin, or learning any Masechta, but the concept of learning is got in Kedushin, it's more important than mitzvahs. That's the read that you have to get in the Shultz. I see there's a question, I'll answer the question, but we just have one last thing to solve before we leave the sugya. Howard, Rashi, and in particular, not Rashi, but the Rabbeinu Tam, explained away with Yochanan's behavior. Okay, we quoted the background information of Yochanan. That wasn't the issue, Hill. The issue really was his update of the Hesped tables. But if you're a Yochanan and you're coming out of the bathroom, what should you do first? What? Wait for the answer. Everyone, let them first understand the question. What's the problem? Right. And is the problem according to Rabbeinu Tam? Is it a problem? Of course. What's more important than tefillin? Look at the hierarchy. What's more important than tefillin? Everything. And according to Rashi, okay, tefillin's more important than learning, but what's more important than tefillin? Teaching. So according to Rashi and the Beinu Tam, why did he put on his tefillin before he learned slash taught? According to the Shildos, oh, I've already told you that teaching is the lowest on the ladder. Okay, so first do a mitzvah, then teach your Torah. Ah, teacher. But according to Rashi and Beinu Tam, teaching is certainly the Z factor, and even learning, according to Beinu Tam, is more important than mitzvahs. So Gavi has the lumdish answer. What's Gavi's lumdish answer? You want to say it again, Gavi?
Nah, putting on his phone.
Right. If it would have been another mitzvah, if he would have had a lulav or teaching, of course he would have taught and gotten back to lulav later. But Torah, tefillin is a Torah enhancer. So if he put him on tefillin before he learned slash taught, he's making his Torah more enriched because tefillin, as the Meshech Chachma says, is an extension of Torah. So presumably if you're teaching with your tefillin on, one of the things I hope to get back to, we have a, remember those sessions after davening in the morning? I just want people to learn a little bit with tefillin on. Unfortunately, tefillin has become a tefillah-centric experience, not a Torah-centric experience. So I want to do it, Mir Tashem, have the chance, and my schedule is able to stabilize. I want it one day yes, one day not. We'll be able to stabilize that, Mir Tashem. What's another way to explain? Yes, Adir.
You said that like you're not really giving over, like if you teach and like through teaching, you're not showing that mitzvah are more important. Then, or
mitzvot
are important, then you're not really, your teaching is
going to
be so successful.
Yeah, but, okay, but that would be if I never put on tefillin. If I say, you know, I'm going to teach right, you first, well, then put on the same
if
people.
Like, if you could be doing a mitzvah and you don't want to do the mitzvah right now, then.
I see what you're doing, but it's a strain. You're trying to take Rav Aaron's logic, but I think we're going to apply it here. But if I say, I'm a teacher, I don't have to put on tefillin. I say, Lord, I'll teach you, then I'll put on tefillin. Right, tefillin's not as tefillin's a flexible mitzvah. 2 minutes, 5 minutes, it's a different kind of tefillin. Yes, there you say the same thing.
No, maybe, but by putting on tefillin first, that is an action of teaching them that tefillin is more important.
No, but it's not more. Right. I should be teaching them Torah first, you know, because whatever I'm teaching is more important than tefillin, according to Rashi and Beinu Tam. So you have to see the whole chessboard. When a Rishon says something and he solves the problem in the sugya, how do other Rishonim that didn't say that solve the problem? We call that in Shas. What's the one word where we ping pong? Oh, that's where you get the halacha from. What is you? How do you solve that halacha? What do you call that word? We have to speak in Gemara language. What do we call it? What? V'idach. V'idach. What are you going to say about that? Because the Gemara always knew all the pieces on the chessboard. So if you can start talking to your friends in Gemara language, you'll be able to. the next time that, you know, your friend says, oh, the Jets are terrible, and you say, well, you know, the Jets have this, you're a Giants fan, v'idach, and what are you going to say? So you use the word v'idach. Like, we actually tried that once in early November. I remember my roommate and I decided we're only going to speak Gemara language. And we said, Beitrei, Havi, Ozli, Kamei, Kemach, you know, give me the cereal. And it lasted about 3 minutes. But we decided we're only going to speak in Gemara language. But it's true. You see people who speak Pshita, V'idach, Shmamina, Plasman de Polig, Kulian, just have like 10 Gemara phrases, and you know what they mean logically, then you're putting yourself like a syntax. You're learning the language, so you get into the logic. What is another way to solve why Rabbi Yochanan put on film before he taught Zeth?
So, what you should give. It's not necessarily practically
But according to Rashi, it is. According to Rashi, the highest value in the end, what's the highest value? Forget the Hesped is part of that equation. Let's take a minute down. What's the highest value then? The Gemara tradition says. Okay, so Zeb's saying that I have the choice to ordinate them as long as I'm not omitting anything. If I'm Dosha one, that's one thing. Right, so in the case of, let's say, Kiddushin, I'm a Talmud, let's say, the Ishami. I was sent by my father, Rabbi Avot, to Tveria. I have a date today. Either I can spend my day digging graves or learning Torah. So he was upset, at least in the Vayner Tam's view of the world, that he was chesed rather than Torah, because that day you're not going to learn Torah. Whereas here, it's a question of what comes first. That's what Vayner Tam answered. Did I give you the Vayner Tam on your cars? Did I give you a Vayner Tam? Do you have a Vayner Tam? If you look at the Vayner Tam, that's his answer. He says, Ulahai Perusha, look at the end of Rabbeinu Tam. Ulahai Perusha, Lo Tikshi, Hechleman of Tfilin, Meikar of Hadar Amrlo. The Afogav, the Gemara, the Maisa, Rabbeinu Tam. Learning is more important than Maisa, and certainly Tarot, but certainly learning. Linyan Hakdava Zev, Lo Shaykh, the Kachlak Din. Okay.
Also called the Torah says.
Right. That's a little closer to what Gabi says, right? Let me see the language. Derech Kavatar, the Kavatar. I have a third answer, which is, you know, very balabatish, but I like thinking this way. It's not balabatish, it's really brisker, but it's not like making a chiddush like this, but saying, is this even relevant? Is putting tefillin on for Rabbi Yochanan after the bathroom, is that part of halacha calculus? Or is the Rebbe allowed to breathe when he gets out of the bathroom? Like, I went to the bathroom, I just, like, let me, you know, like, would you come and say, tichar before you button your shirt? You know, like, just, you know, let me, give me a second. Okay, Tishtar, why are you zippering your fly? Because, like, I just got to put myself together. Tefillin was his clothing. Like, we think tefillin is a mitzvah, taking a lulav, taking matzah. Tefillin is your clothing. You just take off some of your clothing to go to the bed. Like, you pull down your pants to go to the bathroom. Whatever you take, you brush your teeth. Like, to me, it just seems obvious that Yochanan's decision to put his tefillin back on wasn't mitzvah calculus. Okay, I'm finished with the bathroom. Which mitzvah comes first? He wasn't finished with the bathroom yet. You know, excuse me for being rude and crude and Brooklynese, but I'm just trying to help you understand. Like, you know, okay, before you went to the bathroom already, before you take the toilet paper. No, excuse me. You know, first, going to the bathroom is also cleaning up, getting dressed. Right? Remember, the question was about washing hands, right? Mm-hmm. Washing hands isn't a mitzvah, right? It's the entire Siddayim. You can't do anything before you wash hands. Okay, presumably, depending on what the bathroom was, can you learn Torah with that? But I can prove to you that it's the only merit. Why? You have to wash the hands. Why did you wash the hands before you throw Torah? Why say Ashiyatza? The answer is because going to the bathroom means the whole process. A and B, Tefillin is getting dressed. That was his dress, right? No one would ask why you put your toga on first. Okay, what do you mean? The toga's on before you put the belt. Let's see. You don't need the belt to teach. The toga's already on. At a certain point, there's a holistic sense of hygiene and finishing the experience before that. Before halacha, the interesting story, why it's on, but before halacha calculus begins, and I think that's what's happening at the Yochanan. So I think it's a simple answer. It's really brisker because it's saying halacha calculus is bounded. It begins after a certain stage. That's why it's brisker. It's saying there's a certain part of human experience that isn't part of the halacha calculus of which mitzvahs are there. It's just, I'm allowed to breathe. Right? Why did you breathe? It took two breaths as opposed to three breaths. you took the breath because you have to, you know, be better to learn Torah. I took the breath because I need another breath of air. And then after my next breath of air, I'll teach you. That to me seems to be the obvious answer, right? Once you say it, it's so obvious, right? Like you put on tefillin because you put on your kippah. You finish the bathroom and then you start saying, okay, now which mitzvah should I do first? So it's brisker in that you're creating categories. That the only time halacha calculus begins is after you have finished personal hygiene. It's interesting to me that Rishonim didn't hold that way. Maybe their hygiene was different. Maybe Yochanan's experience was different. Okay. We're not going to get to Chazara today either. because I have to go to a pigeon of Ben. But let's at least read Reb Chaim. Okay, let me put Reb Chaim into context, because we're learning Reb Chaim. This is Reb Chaim, not in Nevi Chaim. This is part of Reb Chaim on Pirkei Avos. What's Reb Chaim coming to tell us? Okay, so we said that according to Rabbeinu Tam, Torah is more important than mitzvahs. Okay, now. That presumes, at least it can presume, that they're totally separate experiences, and which is adif, tadir, v'sheinu tadir, tadir, kodem, adif, what's adif? In Rashi, we have to work a little harder to explore how Torah enhances mitzvahs. Because remember, according to Rashi, what's the highest value? Mitzvahs. What was Kiddushin? Not the highest value, but remember, it's Kiddushin that says Talmud is adif? Practical for younger people. Why should younger people learn Torah if Maisa is Adif? Because either it has both, like a double daily, or as we saw in the Miri, because knowing Torah will help you do mitzvahs. How will knowing Torah help you do mitzvahs? Okay, so I want you to place it. You want to bank Tom? Even if Torah didn't help mitzvahs whatsoever, Tom's Torah is the highest value. In 200 years, you won't do a mitzvah. 200 years, Sunday morning, you'll be learning this Torah. Okay, so I don't care. Even if they're totally, totally unrelated, Torah is more important. In Rashi's world, we have to explore the intricacies of how Torah helps mitzvahs. Because on the one hand, mitzvahs are the highest value, at least in this world, and you stick to this world. But on the other hand, you tell all the young people in Kiddushin, learn Torah, what do you mean? The answer is, because if you learn Torah now, you'll perform a lot of mitzvahs your whole life. Why? A, because you know what to do. And B, as we saw in the meeting, it's miyapa, the mitzvahs. It makes the mitzvahs deeper and more understanding. So I gave a very brisker definition, a very Rabbi Soloveitchik, ish halacha definition of how Torah enhances mitzvahs. Because you know, the svaras, you know, the symbolism. You know, people ask me why I waited till I was 40, whatever, to put on tchelas. It's very simple. I never went to put on tchelas because I didn't feel right in front of Rav Aaron. My rabbi, you're talking about this. At a certain point, like 10, 12 years ago, whatever, I found a way to put it on. We learned menachas, like teaching the Israelis, and we went through the sugyas of tchelas, and it's such a yetzer to put on tchelas. I couldn't hold back anymore. Like after learning the symbolism and the ideas, like I felt, how can I put on? It's like my yetzer, I put on tchelas, and that overrode my... ask Rav Aaron permission, but like it was a very natural arrival. So it was real. I felt that the learning that I did that summer helped me better appreciate the mitzvah. The B'chaim has a very, very provocative third way to understand how Torah affects mitzvahs. And I agree with this with one caveat, because again, I don't want you to feel I'm just throwing ideas at you. This is this. Do you agree with it? That sometimes, you know, it's happening a lot in today's world. He says. And a lot of the he says and he says are contradictory, or they don't. There's very little contextualization. And what about what he says do I agree with and really try to absorb it? And what, it's just like an endless list of what people have said. And it just, it comes in one ear and it doesn't create clear-headed, articulate, solid, lucid identity. This is what I believe in. It's not like I'm dismissing other approaches. This is what my identity is and this is how I serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's important for me that I'm not so sure that I would, even though it's a Chaim Velazhen, I would take it to this stage, but the general flow of what he's saying, I really deeply believe, and I'll show you what that means. And Rav Aaron did it all the time about the Rav. And we learned the Rav together, inshallah, he said, I'm not sure that I agree with this part of what the Rav was saying. Okay. Hine, Kode Matantara. Before Matantara, the world had two legs. There's no Torah in the world, which by itself is a Chiddush, because after all, Avos Lama Torah, but at least for the purposes of this article, they weren't learning Tzraros and Dine Regal. What were the two aspects? Gemilas Chasadim and Avoda. We see Avram Avinu was about Gemilas Chasadim, and we see many people, even from Noach. Noach's the first, Cain and Hevel bring a carbon, Noach brings a carbon, according to Chazal, Adam brought a carbon. So we had Avoda, it was more, less regulated, less institutionalized, but we had Karbanos, which is an obvious instinctual desire to reach out to Hashem, whatever the carbon is, for penitence, for desire, for praise, for connection. Rak, now we're on line number 6. Achar Matan Torah, oh, I'm going for you. That's the powerful line. And I'll tell you where I agree and where I disagree. It's a famous, famous question. Are all the religious concepts pre-Matan Torah null and void after Matan Torah? Because once Hashem gives the Torah, that wipes away everything before Matan Torah. Rav Amital spoke about this a lot. His belief was no. That there's human morality, which is instinctual, and that doesn't need a Torah to legislate. And even after the Torah legislates, it's still an important way to find a Kodesh Baruch Hu, the human heart, the human desires. Now, obviously, when they clash, as they do at the Akedah, you submit to Hashem. But 99.99% of them don't clash, and it may be a supplementary, and it adds, and you do what's right, even though it's not halachically needed. That's Rav Amital's big vart. that the purity of your heart is a way to serve Hashem. Obviously, Hashem's will supplants that or supersedes that. Now, with Karbanos, the Nefesh HaChaim, or Chaim V'Lajin, is 1,000,000% right. Namely, before the Torah was given, how did Noach bring a Karban? I don't know, maybe he brought a pig. Probably not. The Torah says he didn't bring one. How did he do Shechita? I don't know, maybe he took his glasses. And he's... None of the halachos of Shechita obtain to Noach. He just bought a Karban. Obviously, the Behemoth Tahara, according to this, the first pasuk. But Hevel brought a Karban, and they had to bring a Karban. And let's look for Haraya. What type of carbon? It's not really a carbon, but what type of mizbeach were the avos involved in, which after Matan Torah becomes Asa? A matzeva. The matzeva of Yaakov Avinu, Parshas Vayetzi, becomes Asa. Matzeva sent to Shabbeirut. And the Ramban says that even though Hashem warned in the days of the avos, Hashem legislates. So that is 1,000,000% true. So he says, Rak Achra Matan Torah, line number 7. HaKorbanos, all the korbanos that the avos brought were shutechutz. Can't bring a carbon. Where can I bring? Okay, Yifek, or Medish, Boni Shalim, but they brought a carbon if they wanted to. Noach brought a carbon, harararat. If you were bringing a carbon, harararat, after mantar, bishchut echotz, you get kares. Mitzchayiv kares. Now, here is the line that I'm not sure if Avital would agree with. Just like carbonas were completely, completely remapped, and everything before is useless and pointless, similarly, gemilas chasadim, v'chein, next line, after underline, gemilas chasadim, shekodim matan Torah, Hine, totally revamped. And he gives two examples. Now, it's clear that they're shifting goalposts. So let's say Avram Avinu were to go over to Yitzchak, his son. Yitzchak says, Dad, I need an allowance. I'm going out with my brother Yishmael. He told me about a good movie I want to see before I started, got wind of it. Hey, Yitzchak, come with me. So Yitzchak goes after to Avram. Dad, I need some dough. I need some moolah. I need some dinero. So Avram says, you know what? I'm a little low right now. I'll lend you some money. But you got to pay ribbis. Well, that's pretty nice, Abba. You give me your money, a little bit. Ribbis is not a good idea, right? A good idea. Right, it has to be a Jew because it's like my only choice. Let's say, I don't know, Yaakov Avinu lends his grandson, Chetzron, Ben Reuven. Saba, I need some money. Right. It's Egypt. I want to go to the arcade. And Yaakov says, okay, Chetzron, I'll lend you a couple of bucks, but you got to pay back some ribbis. Wow, you're a great grandfather. You're giving me money you can invest in Intel, and you can make 30%. You're giving me only 10%. Thank you, Saba. That was, of course, Lavdil, the big Christian claims against the Jews. Because the Jews were allowed to take interest from Goyim, and Christianity took it literally that interest is immoral. So, but before Matan Torah, lending money and giving up on 30% profit for your 10% is moral. After Matan Torah, turned over the Jew, it's not a toy, it's also. Or another example he gives from Rabbi Akiva. The letter says Rabbi Akiva, probably in the beginning, he found the dead body in the field. So what do you do when you find a dead body in the field? Unfortunately, we had too many of those last month. What's the moral thing to do? To pick up the dead body and bring it to a kavura. What's halacha? Meis mitzvakonis makoma. So here you see the Torah revamping basic moral instincts. So I agree with the idea that there are certain cases where the Torah's new morality redefines a moral act. Before Matan Torah, take the body to the local burial plot or the family burial plot. After Matan Torah, it's halacha. You follow Kodesh Baruch Hu's will. You can ask a million times, why is it more? We can talk about why is it a better moral system to follow Hashem's will, but a mace, missile, and carry it, or why ribs, whatever. But at the end of the day, understand it or not, Hashem at Har Sinai supersedes instinctive morality. That doesn't mean that nothing about instinctive morality carries over after Har Sinai. That's where Avital would be. But that's his basic point. Okay? So therefore, Rak, Kafi Atara, Lizos, now the next underline, Hine Atara, now, after Har Sinai, and Nena Ata Amud Shlishi Levadan. It's not Al Shloshet Ram Olam Omeid. That's before Har Sinai, the Olam before Har Sinai. Ki, he calls Shlosh Amud and Biyachad. Because if you don't know Torah, you can't navigate the other two Amud HaOlam, because you'll still be bringing a carbon based on your own map. And you'll still be bringing a carbon. That's not exactly the technical law of Maariv Chassid. It's not exactly the hyper-brisker of Soloveitchik. You understand all the svaras. It's more navigationally. I have to make sure I make a left turn, not a right turn. It's a little more than law of Maariv Chassid. I would know. It's not like I'll be lost in the wind. But I make little mistakes that won't occur with Hashem's will. What's his raya? He says his raya is the Gemara Kiddushin. V'zeh ma'marim zal. Right at the end of that line, and he underlined it. Nishalam Talmud Gadol Maisa Gadol. Kisavru sheitachin ma'isa mitzvos v'bli limud tamidi. Imkain ain a limud rak mitzvah achas. It's a mitzvah. V'imkain, skipping two lines, a ma'isa gadol. Achakach nimnu v'gamru. It's not really above a kama's kedushin, but he's conflating two words. Nimnu v'gamru v'yosim chokma misa sadaver ki efshal asas shum ma'isa karei b'li limud v'kach tamud gadol ki v'asar ma'isa v'gam mevidei mitzvos uvilta ein ma'isa gamke. It's a nice little different angle of Reb Chaim. It's very provocative to think about 2,000 years of religious history before Har Sinai. You can read Rav Amital. I think it's a piece in Eretz Nesan L'Bnei Adam called Natural Religion, Tiviyot, Musar Enushi. I think the first one, Musar Enushi. You'll listen to it. I probably have a lecture on it somewhere. A summary, Dear Moshe Targ and Rav Amital have a lot of summaries. I probably summarized it once. But it's interesting to think about and how it pertains to this thing. Again, Rabbeinu Tam, you don't need this conversation. It's Rabbeinu Tam. Talmud Torah is more important even if it doesn't lead to Maisa. It's the highest value, it's a turn of value. In Rashi, where you're trying to juggle the supremacy of mitzvahs, yet the developmental prioritization of Talmud Torah, because it's going to enhance mitzvahs, is that enhancement purely technical? Is that enhancement navigational, not to see it through Hashem's lenses, not the human moral expectation or human behavior? Or is it hyper-brisker? I know all the hakiros, so therefore the mitzvah will be a deeper and more existentially holistic mitzvah. All three are possible. Not that Benitam denies it, he just doesn't need it in the sugya. Rashi needs a solution for kiddushin. Okay, so as I told you, we started learning the sugya. It's a very, very rich sugya, because it makes us think about all of our halavai. We should all be mekayim. Lilmod, lamed, lishmer, lasses, mekayim is called davitam, which are secha biyata. And very few of us are going to have to make those hard decisions on a minute by minute, but you know, we'll make a decision. It's interesting to hear. We've shown him, based on these three points in the Gemara, the Gemara in Kiddushin, the potential Hesped Olympics, as I call them, which may not have happened according to the Shiltos, the story where he went to the bathroom, Be'ochanan, then he came out, all these three things have to be taken into account to build one coherent and consistent system. Okay, we didn't get to Chazara. Let's lay it over in Meretz Hashem. We'll get to it, I don't know when, but I'll get to the Chazara Meretz Hashem. I still owe you that. But just to teach you and to show you the Chesed of Am Yisrael, you know, I had a very, very